Welcome to the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. So good morning to New York and this week to Toronto as well. And good afternoon to the UK. Good evening if you are in India. And welcome to the show. Where did that week go? It has flashed by. And actually, it's been a slightly unusual week for me because I decided it was time I had a holiday. And I'm not going very far at the moment. Those of you who know me know that I was traveling the world quite a lot before we all got locked down. Now, so my holiday this year is only about 50 feet away because I'm very fortunate to have a therapy room that I use to work one-to-one with my clients. And it's self-contained, has its own bathroom, has a fridge and a kettle. And so to give my husband a break as well, because he deserves a holiday too, I've been holidaying up in my therapy room, and it's a bit of a break and it's just a bit different. But I started Sunday off by going to a yoga class. I thought radical self-care, we talked about last week, I would do some radical self-care. So Sunday I went to a yoga class, Monday I went to an online meditation and then went to visit a friend, Tuesday I went to the Botanic Gardens in Cambridge, which was beautiful, and then off to the Fitzwilliam Museum with a friend. Yesterday, I was in London all day. If you're friends with me on Facebook, you will have seen pictures of food. I ate way too much food. And today, unusually, I've been at a one-to-one yoga class because I always say to people, I am rubbish at yoga, and yoga teachers hate it when you say that. Everybody's at the level they're at. But she was lovely and I had a really nice time. So the week has just been flashing by, and tomorrow I'm promising myself that I'm not actually going to do anything, because that is radical self-care. So wherever you are, I hope that you're enjoying these last days of the summer and getting some self-care in there. I have actually taken a face mask up to my room to do one of those face mask things. And I think they're always best done on your own because you don't want anybody taking a photograph of you with one of those on. So let's have a look at what's in the media this week. And starting with an article in the Morning Star, but to be fair, this article was everywhere in the UK press. Equality laws could be changed to protect women in menopause, MP says. So this is a review that's currently being carried out in the UK, where the whole menopause in the workplace issue is so lively. I've done lots of talks online, both as group exercises or talking to organisations and their staff. So this is a very lively subject. I would say it was a hot topic if that wasn't so corny. Anyway, equality laws could be changed to protect women in the workplace. Commons Women and Equalities Committee Chairwoman Caroline Noakes said today. So I still haven't got my new glasses, so I'm having to move my head a bit. The Conservative MP said that women are forced to use disability legislation to seek redress against discrimination through the courts, as the menopause is not a protected characteristic under the Equality Act. So under the Equality Act, people are protected for a number of characteristics, including gender, age, sexuality, religion, and some women have been taking cases to employment tribunal on the basis of gender and age, which of course come together at menopause as an issue. And some of those cases have been thrown out, and other cases, it has been agreed or decided by the court that menopause can be considered to be a disability if the symptoms are frequent enough and severe enough, and normally that takes a medical letter or some evidence from the medical profession that this person is really experiencing severe symptoms. So we intend to change things for the better. The revolution is marching on. We're part of a revolution. Fantastic. The Financial Times here in the UK says investing in the menopause can offer many rewards. A greater awareness of women's health issues, including menopause, has been bubbling in business for much longer than a few months. With women taking the lead, entrepreneurs have been developing apps, with several chief executives have introduced educational initiatives and policies for employees. So I did mention one of these last week, but this next paragraph is the one that kind of blows me away. The global femtech section, so in other words, technology for women, specializing in products and services designed to meet women's often neglected healthcare needs, is expected to boom and reach $80 billion by 2027. 60 billion, I must get those two glasses, $60 billion from $19 billion where it was at 2019. So this market is growing hugely, and it's partly the tech part of it and partly it's the medication side. Venture capital investors have backed companies such as Sirona Health, a virtual health clinic based in London with origins at Cambridge University. It's been described as the Amazon of gynecological care and aims to raise the standards of care, developing digital therapeutics for conditions such as endometriosis. So lots of work going on in this area. I think, you know, there's a generation of women now who are so used to using apps and technology to help support their health that it was bound to become part of what menopause would do as well. Another UK publication this week, The Guardian, work your muscles and rethink your diet, how fitness can help you through the menopause. Now, this is just an extract from a much larger article, but these were the bits that I thought might interest you. So Arj Thuralipham, a personal trainer who coaches elite athletes, says of power through or take a break dilemma. So some women kind of try and power through and some are taking a break. Always make the decision on a macro rather than a micro level. In macro terms, to give up exercise during your menopause would be a disaster as your muscle mass decreases with age at the rate of about 1% a year. For menopausal women, it's much more substantial than that. You need muscle mass to protect your bones, not to mention, as Mead says, in fact, that it decreases cell death, increases stem cells, and decreases fat cells, which are a secretor of inflammatory markers. Aging is all about chronic low-level inflammation. And stress inflames your body. We talked about this before. We'll talk about it again. Part of that inflammation is just the amount of stress that you experience at this stage of life. So that's the macro level, really thinking how fit you want your body to be moving through menopause and beyond. On a micro level, if you've had hot flushes throughout the night and not slept, it's probably worth listening to your body and giving yourself a rest. So if you've had a bad night, you're not going to be getting up and going for a run. Overall, he has a 10-minute rule. If I wake up and I don't feel like a workout, I think I'll do 10 minutes. If I still feel rubbish, I'm going to stop. That's the biggest piece of advice I can give anyone. 85% of the time, you'll feel fine after 10 minutes. So it's worth knowing that, that sometimes you need to have a bit of a go at things. And, you know, just see how your body responds. And sometimes after 10 minutes, you think, I could do a bit more. But if you're really feeling tired, better to give yourself a break, because otherwise you'll start to resent doing the exercise. People go into menopause like some ghastly blind date. I thought that was funny. Well, you know it's going to happen, but you hope it's going to be okay. Yeah, that's what a lot of women do. Everyone in their 40s should be thinking about getting themselves in tip-top shape so that when it happens, it's as fine as it can be. Don't treat it like a lottery and don't wait until you're feeling crap and then try to make decisions in that state. Not a good time to be making decisions. Besides strength training, what does this actually look like? Work on your diet so your blood sugar isn't fluctuating too much. This can stave off the worst of the hot flushes and will also help with mood swings. Don't try a ketogenic diet, but do use a protein calculator, as protein-rich meals can help in maintaining muscle mass. You might want to adjust your portion size to suit your reduced basal metabolic rate. Or you might think, I'm not going to use that word, darn it, one thing at a time. Take vitamin D and calcium supplements and omega-3s, that's your healthy fatty acids, the first two for bone health, and since loss of estrogen often causes osteoporosis. That's really important. And the third thing, the omega-3 for your mood. Now, I did see another article, but it's disappeared off my list, and it came from Australia. It came from Sydney University, so I'm just busking this one. But they've done a massive piece of research of, you know, like 1,500 people. They divided it into premenopausal women. No, they divided it between perimenopausal women. So it's women in kind of 10 years leading up to 51, 52, which is the average age, and everybody else. So there were the perimenopausal women and women in other categories and men. And guess what? Women were more sensitive to fluctuations in temperature. I could have told them that without them having to do the research, but I guess it's always good to have the research. They decided that it would be a really good idea to make sure that women could get to the right temperature that suited their bodies. Well, if we need some research, I'm sure we'd all be applauding that the Sydney University have done that in order to help us. So my guest in the virtual studio today, looking very cool and comfortable, is Lisa Dadd. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. And we included Toronto in the time check today because you are in Ontario and you are way north of Ontario up there in the lakes. How is the weather up in the lakes today?
It's hot, ironically so, or maybe perfectly so. We're dealing with some hot, muggy temperature. Always nice to be at the lake, though, because it's a quick solution to jump in.
Yeah. Well, we all need those. I have to tell you, it's a cool day here. There's a big cricket match going on and people are sitting in fleeces, and one of the commentators who's from India has got a scarf on. So I think we know that this is typical late summer here in the UK.
And, perfectly. I can be the hot woman and you can have the cool solutions.
Yes. Come to the UK, which you have. So you know what it's like here, and you have even stayed in my holiday accommodation. So
very lovely. Very lovely. I recommend it highly.
So when we come back after the break, we're going to be talking about a very positive aspect to menopause. And one that I really like to get that message over to women is that just as there's a lot of physical change going on at menopause, there is an emotional change going on, but I would say it goes at a spiritual level as well. And by that, I'm not talking a religious level, I'm saying a profound change to who we are as we get to menopause. So this is going to be a really interesting discussion where we talk about how to take that opportunity to change, to reset, to press that reset button and really get a positive result from it. So join us after the break when we'll be talking about that positive aspect of menopause. See you then.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
welcome back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. And this week we're talking about a very positive aspect of menopause, the kind of mindset shift that can happen. And if you're watching this live on the Facebook page, on the Talk Radio NYC Facebook page, do leave us a comment or a question. I'll be monitoring it during the show. That's why I see my eyes shifting about. I'm this swan gliding over the water, and my feet are pedaling hard underneath. So if you've got any questions, please leave us a comment. My guest in the studio today is Lisa Dadd. Lisa spent 15 years in corporate healthcare, mastering strategic sales, marketing, and management skills. Along with the success of climbing the corporate ladder, was a deep sense her greatest potential was yet to be realized. How true that was. It took 8 years as an independent consultant and an intense training in leadership development to uncover an innate way to access a greater potential. Lisa now works with innovative leaders to integrate an awareness of who they are at their core into the way they do business. The success of her process is particularly related to her unique approach to sales training using a powerful diagnostic tool called Soul Language. Soul Sales teaches the art of creating buy-in through enrolling language of one's natural essence. Welcome to the virtual studio, Lisa.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And so what drew you towards the health industry to start with? Was it something that you always had an interest in?
Well, what drew me there was the desire to be a doctor. I thought I was going to be a doctor when I was younger, and it seemed to fit because I had this fascination with the human body, but I also it seemed to be that all my women friends or my girlfriends, I guess, when I was younger, always came to me to ask me questions and my advice. And I think they did that because I was so matter of fact about things. You know, I could talk about body issues without it being sort of a big deal to me. So, I thought, oh, maybe I'd be a gynecologist, an OBGYN, as we call them in Canada, obstetrics gynecology. I thought that I would actually specialize in women's health. Now, fate had a different plan for me. I didn't get into medical school. And so I ended up on the other side of the office, if you will. And I worked with doctors for 15 years, saw a different perspective to healthcare.
Yeah, I wanted to be a nurse when I was in my early teens. I'm not sure why I wanted to be a nurse. Who knows? And then at 16, I got a very bad form of pneumonia. Ended up in an adult's ward because I was 16. And after 3 weeks in the adult's ward, I did not want to become a nurse. So it's interesting, you know, we're going to talk today about these massive changes that can occur at menopause. I didn't do anything health related. Well, no, that's not entirely true, because these things are like bubble away in us, as we're going to talk about with the soul language. You know, you can't ignore who you basically are, even if you say, no, I'm not going to do emptying bedpans. It's not for me. And eventually it all bubbles.
It comes back. It all comes back to you, right?
Eventually, and in a nicer form, I think. So, tell us a bit. So you were working there in corporate, you built up a really good career, and then now you are a much younger hot woman. So
I just turned 48, so I'm not shy about that. I just turned 48. And I think this is why it's such an interesting topic for me, because I've yet to really have extreme physical symptoms of menopause. And I believe that it's the perfect time to really be looking at the wider potential of this phase in my lifetime that I'm coming into. And so I can approach it from a really positive space because I'm looking for that opportunity before I'm sort of stuck in the middle of it, feeling the physical aspects of it. Gives me a little bit of a, I guess, a broader view of it. I think we'll see as we talk.
I hope our many conversations about menopause, because I can bore for England on the subject. I could be an Olympic menopause talker. I hope that's given you some insights into it, because so many women, as it said in that media article, it's like a bad blind date, you know, that you just walk into it with hoping for the best. So you've already done one big, you know, the word of the year, I think last year was pivot, but you did that big pivot coming out of corporate. And it sort of didn't stop there because you did all this training and work on yourself. So after you left corporate, how did you develop your career from there?
I'd like to say it was all a, you know, specific path or plan that I laid out for myself. But, you know, they always say you want to make God laugh, huh? Tell him your plans. So I will say that it was by allowing myself to follow what my life was telling me. And it seemed like the more I opened myself to listen to what was, you know, how I was feeling and maybe not just what I was thinking. You know, I was in corporate, I was very, very heady. And all of a sudden I stepped into the opportunity to say, what if, you know, I worked for a pharmaceutical company. And so everything was about sample sizes of, you know, we had to have tens of thousands of people to make proof that anything worked. And I stepped into this idea, N is a sample size, right? In a study, the N of 10,000 for a drug or a medicine development. I decided to step into this concept of what if N equals one? What if I'm really looking for what works for me? And I threw away all the equations that society had made for me, or at least my interpretation of what society's equation was for success, for happiness. And I threw it away and I decided to like start from scratch. And I guess it was very experimental, but the focus, if I had to say anything, the focus really became, what if I actually looked at the N of one, meaning me, and if I could have more happiness and fulfillment, then could that then radiate towards others in the work that I do? I guess that's the core of it, I guess.
So, you know, I was going to say obviously, but people don't know. So, obviously, I've seen you speak on stage, I've seen you run training, and you're a very powerful and passionate public speaker, and, you know, throw lots of humor in there as well, which we love. And, you know, you reach an audience and get them really motivated to talk with you. Do you get most of your enjoyment from doing that group work, or is one-to-one work the most important for you?
I like them both, actually. But what I've learned about my own soul language, and we can dive into the soul language, but the more and more I've really opened to delving deeper into an understanding of like who I am at my core. I think you were talking about that a little bit earlier, is that, you know, we really start to, at this time of our lives, discover kind of who we are. And it's almost maybe a remembering of who we are. And what I've started to discern is that, you know, I've always kind of loved a microphone, right? Like, sure, give me a microphone, I'll talk. What do you want me to say? You know, I've always had that comfort level with that. But what I've been able to discern as I've gotten older is that I love working with people. So it's not about, I don't want to be on a stage just giving information. So you'll find that when I'm on a stage, I love training people and I love facilitating and I love one-to-one. Any of those environments that allow me to work with people. So, you know me, I don't have a lot of scholar energy. So it's not about me giving information. It's about me working with people in an experience. I'm all about the experience of things.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, because we both know each other's soul language, which again, we will be talking more about, my soul language means that I love, if I know something, if I've got knowledge, I want to share it. I want to share it, and through sharing it, make somebody's life better.
Yeah.
So I don't mind reading the books, although I'm not a fast reader, or watching the webinars or going to the talks. And it's not so that I can keep it to myself. As soon as I've learned something, I want to share it. So I want to, which is why I've written five books. I've written five books about menopause now. I thought I'd written it all after one, but there was still more to come.
And I'm sure there's 10 more. There's 10 more in you, I'm sure.
There's another one brewing. So no. For me, it's, I don't mind if I'm sharing that knowledge one-to-one, working with a client one-to-one, or if I'm working online with a group, or if I'm in front of a classroom, if I'm sharing the knowledge, that's what feels good. So we all have to find that thing. And I've quoted a statistic during these talks and in other talks that I've done on menopause in the workplace, that 25% of women consider leaving their jobs during this perimenopause, menopause phase. Yeah. If you're not used to that term, perimenopause, it really starts in your 40s, could be earlier. You're starting to get the symptoms of menopause because your reproductive hormones are reducing and they're having an effect on your major hormones. So you might go through all of those years right up to 51, which is the average age, and not have a symptom, or you might be having symptoms from your early 40s. So that just explains a bit about that.
I think it's like more... you're knocking on the door of the party, right? So here's the different soul languages. Pat will give you all the stats and all the quotes. And I'm going to tell you, it's kind of like knocking on the door of the party and you're kind of looking in the windows. That's what it is. It's like, I kind of feel like I'm with you ladies, but not, maybe not yet.
I think I'd go a stage further. I think you're walking up the path to where the party is.
That's right. That's right.
You're walking up. You can hear the other women in the party.
And you're just like, you open the door, but do you go in? Do you wait? Am I ready to go in yet?
Now, one of the reasons I quoted that is that, you know, it sort of said, well, this is because they're experiencing symptoms and they're not being supported. And there is something in that. I also think there's something in what we're talking about of thinking of wanting to come home to yourself at this age, that the identities that you've had, perhaps as a mother, a carer, a partner, some of that, a sex goddess, even though you can still stay a sex goddess, as you can see, you know, some of those identities are starting to fall away and something new is evolving. And I think you've figured that too.
Well, I love that you use the word coming home to yourself and coming home to your own energy. That to me is what soul language is all about. And it supports women in really discovering what home is.
Yeah, and so that's why I think a lot of this goes on at this age is the women who recognize they want to do something different and then are looking for how they're going to do it. Because this whole thing of identity is so powerful. And once we start to lose identities, for some women, they say they're losing themselves. They don't know who they are anymore, like it's a bad thing. Mm. I think that could be like the start of finding something different.
Yeah.
So it can be exciting. So join us after the break. The time's going so quickly and we've got so much to talk about. I've got to stop talking and let Lisa do the talking. Join us after the break when we'll be talking more about how to find yourself and your true self to come home to yourself at this stage of life. See you after the break.
Do you feel uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause, where my guest in the studio today is Lisa Dadd. And we're going to be talking more about soul language and discovering who we are, resetting at this age. And I have to tell you, as a little glimpse into this, that part of my soul language is being a sage. And sages talk a lot. Which can be a bit of an issue on a radio show where you're interviewing people. So having opened up that crack, I'm going to say to Lisa, tell us more about how you feel having that soul language tool helps you and helps your clients to understand who they are and what their path ahead is.
Yeah. Well, I love that you said right before the break about this idea that we're sort of breaking identities and we come to this point in our lives where, you know, maybe those identities don't feel so comfortable anymore, or they just don't feel enough anymore, I think, too. So someone said, can say, I'm a wife and a mother and an accountant or something. But, you know, it's like, and there's this other piece of me that hasn't been able to shine through because I've been too busy raising my kids and keeping a home and going to work and getting a paycheck. And so, you know, I often talk about this hidden potential inside our comfort zones. And we're always told that growth is outside of our comfort zones. But to me, soul language helps people bring themselves back to the core of who they are and what feels really good and really comfortable. And the best part, I think, about getting older is we can actually start to not care as much what other people think. You know, we've got this knowledge and this wisdom that we've, you know, hard earned along the way. And we start to get to this age where we say, you know what, life's getting shorter and shorter. And maybe I need to not care so much if someone thinks I'm crazy that I love doing whatever, fill in the blank. And I can actually allow myself to express it a little bit more. So now that's a lot. There's a lot to unpack there. And I think the best thing I love about soul language is it's really just a tool to help people, you know, deepen their own consciousness of who they are. And so we've tamped it down a little bit, right? Like maybe you were told, you know, as you were younger, you know, I was told that girls shouldn't be smarter than boys. They shouldn't beat boys at sports. You know, it was like all these things. Don't be too shiny. Don't be too loud. You know, there was all this stuff. It's like tamp down your spark or your brilliance. And if you're too smart, people aren't going to like you. You know, I used to get ostracized in school for it. And so we start to build up these layers in this armor. And I think it's a beautiful time at menopause to be able to say, you know what? It's time for me now. It's time for me to like really understand who I am. And my belief is that the more we sink into that energy, the transformation that can happen in and around us, you know, comes with that.
There's so much I want to say. I'm having to like edit myself while I'm here because, you know, for the first 30 years of my career, I was working in government doing technical and management jobs. And I thought that was very much who I was, and then got to 54 and did a complete what I would call handbrake turn, where I said, no, I'm not happy anymore. I just, this was everything I'd aimed for, and now I'm not happy. And somebody at work who'd known me for quite a few years said, what are you going off to do, Pat? And I laughed, thinking she would say, how did that happen? And I said, oh, I'm going off to train to be a hypnotherapist and NLP practitioner. And she said, oh, I thought you'd do something like that. She said, I thought perhaps you'd go and start an ashram.
Oh, wow.
And it's this thing mm-hmm. of how we leak who we are. Mm-hmm. Other people sense it.
Yeah. And I think we do that when we're not overthinking it, right? And often that's like, what is the most comfortable for you? That's why I say there's growth inside our comfort zone, is because when we're more aware of what that is, our core energy of who we are, we can be in it more often by choice. But I agree. I think we do leak it. You know, when we're in an environment, so, you know, if I'm in a corporate environment where it's very male driven, mostly men in all those leadership positions, and I keep getting promoted and rewarded for acting like that, but then all of a sudden someone's asking for my advice and I'm feeling in a really safe environment, I don't feel like eyes are on me or judging me or, you know, grading me for my performance appraisal. And the real me just comes out because from my heart, I want to help that person. And so it's literally coming from such a loving, intentional place that all of the masks and the armor kind of like fall to the side. And, you know, after that conversation, the armor might come back on and then I'm in front of the room pretending I know all the, you know, but it's that, I like that you said we kind of leak who we are because, yeah. And that's why I say menopause isn't the time to change and be somebody else. It's literally the opportunity to remember, rediscover, you know, raise our awareness of who we really are. So that feels good for everybody, not just us.
Yeah. And I just love that bit about us not caring so much what other people think. And it is so true. I think you get to a stage, you're not quite there yet, Lisa, but I know you're on your way. You know, you're coming down the path to the party where there are all these women who go, I don't care what anybody else thinks.
Yeah.
You know, it's such an amazing feeling because in the first half of our lives, that can hold us back from doing so much. How do you think soul language helps to kind of release that? How does it bring us home?
You know, I love the fact that soul language gives people, you know, a bit of a spectrum of who they are, right? It doesn't say, it's not about an identity. So you and I have been throwing out some of the archetypes, right? You know, my dominant energy is king energy, but it's not about giving me a label of like, okay, you're king energy, you need to lead and you're a leader and that's it. There's your stamp or your sticker. It, you know, the idea is that there's a whole spectrum around that, how I want to express that, how I want to play in that, where I want that to show up. There's so much room. To me, that's your comfort zone, right? The comfort zone is leading. And it's true. If I can't even, I look back at my life and I think I was always thrown into leadership positions, even when I kind of didn't want to. People be like, Lisa, why don't you take lead of this? And I'd be like, what? Why? You know, I don't get it, right? And it wasn't, it's not, so it's not for me to stand up and go, I'm the leader, or I get to lead. It's that, you know, in my core of energy, I can't help it. I just can't even help it. So when I can understand that and embrace it, then I don't have to push it at anybody. I don't have to tell them I'm the leader. I just show up. And if it makes sense, then it makes sense. And so it feels really good. And then I can choose where I want to be the leader. You know, what areas of my life and how does that look differently at work than it does with family and friends? And there's sort of a settling into it, you know, it's not needing to push it. So
yeah,
I don't know if that's answering your question.
Yeah, absolutely. And can you share with us any insights that any of your clients have had with it? I don't want you to break any confidences, but how has it changed people?
Yeah. Well, you know, often I find someone's, they might be playing just outside of their energy, right? So I attract a lot of kings because I guess I'm radiating something there, but I've got clients who have been playing a little bit more in the helper energy, and helpers are all about serving and nurturing and supporting. And trying to, you know, getting them to discern the fact that they serve through directing, like people come to them needing direction. And so there's it seems like a small little change, but it's a big change. It's like, we all want to serve. Every single archetype wants to serve. We all want to matter. We all want to be able to do good in the world at some level of us, but how we do that. So you talked about scholar energy, about teaching. Scholars serve by disseminating information. They give us information. And when a scholar's doing that, we're like, oh my goodness, they know so much. I'm just going to follow them because I just feel their expertise and it feels really good, right? Where when I'm trying to do that a little too much, I can provide information, but people don't feel it the same way. They feel me more when I let them bring the information and I help guide and direct them on what it can mean for them. That feels good for them. So when I work with clients and they start to go, oh, you know, like a warrior, I've got a warrior right now. And warrior sounds so negative to her until I said, you know, what's powerful about warriors is when they fight for a cause. And she goes, I got it. So now instead of fighting against, she's dealing with a home situation where she felt like she was fighting against the doctors and her family member. And now she goes, now I can fight for her health. Instead of against the choices they're giving us. The energy shift is so powerful in one little shift of a perspective.
That's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes it's just like one little missing piece. And when you get it,
Yeah.
Anything like, unveils, you know? And I think when I started to understand, I spend a lot of time in my scholar energy and my sage energy because I want to know stuff so I can share it. But I also have king energy. Mm-hmm. So a bit like Lisa, again, I'm going to go back to that leaking it, you know, that you walk into a room, you're not saying to everybody, look at me, I'm a leader, and suddenly something needs doing. And it's like, Pat, would you lead this group? And you think, why me? Just as you said. Yeah. But it just leaks out of you that you're going to be the one that does that. And probably you're going to be very responsible as well.
Yeah. And here's what helps people as well in coming home to their own energy is understanding how they do that. So I always say, even scholars, they lead, but the leading is very different. Again, they lead and people want to follow them because they've got so much information and people are like, yeah, that needs to be the person who's at the front of the room and guiding all of us, but they're doing it through that way that they do it. You can take an artist energy. Artists are all about innovation and creativity. And you could say, true innovators and engineers of our world are leading. Well, they're leading, but they lead through their creations. They don't lead by telling other people what to do or, you know, directing a group towards a cause. They lead by creating. And so when you can say that to an artist, it gives them a little bit of a break of, oh my goodness, I don't have to tell others what to do. Uh-uh. You get to be in your creation. You get to be innovative and allow that to express for you what you have to offer the world. And it's kind of liberating. It's kind of liberating.
It's hugely liberating. And, you know, in my intro for you, I just mentioned soul sales. And I think this is important because so many women go into entrepreneurship and there's an element of doing sales that is about what your soul language is. We've only got a minute. Say something quick.
Can we come back and talk more about soul sales? Because love to say is that often people are fearful of sales because they say, I don't want to be a salesperson. I don't feel like a salesperson. And I go, great, don't be a salesperson. And I can teach them how to use their own natural approach to be more enrolling and to get more buy-in. And if you're selling something, to get more sales. But I teach them from the approach that is natural to them. And there's only one archetype that naturally has a salesman-like approach.
Hold it right there. We will be back.
Which one?
There's so much we can talk about. And because I'm a scholar and a sage, I have run 10-hour training on menopause. And women at the end who at the beginning thought, how are we going to talk about this for 10 hours? At the end were saying, have we got any more time? Have we got any more time? Because there's always something more to learn. So yeah, whether you want the 5-minute version of menopause or the 10-hour, come to me and I can give you either or both. So join us after the break when Lisa will be sharing more of her wisdom about coming home to yourself.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock Radio Show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. And my guest today is Lisa Dadd. So Lisa, again, I'm just going to zip it, say a bit more about soul sales. How does understanding your soul language archetype help you with soul sales?
So one of the aspects in the soul language is about our approach, our natural approach of things. And that is the one that I usually focus on most for sales, because for people to identify that how they naturally approach other things in their life is the best way for them to approach a sales conversation. And for those of you out there that are listening that are not salespeople, I will say that we're always in a sales conversation at some point. It's why I often use the word buy-in. Creating buy-in. So even for those women out there who are needing to get buy-in from their managers, their bosses, or their companies that their menopause is real and that they need extra support, to get buy-in for that, or even if you're an advocate to get buy-in for all the women in your organization, that is a sale, you know? And so that's how I think of sales first. If you want to, maybe you want to get your teenage children or your adult children to buy into the value of something you want them to do, that is a sell as well, in my opinion. So what I know is that our natural approach is the most enrolling. It feels the most comfortable for us. So there's that growth inside your comfort zone. It feels the most natural for us, and it feels the most natural on the receiving end for someone who's in front of us. And so we kind of start there with soul sales.
I think this is so important because as trainers as well, if you're training people to do something, doing something around soul language. So when I'm training people about menopause in the workplace, I'll give them the scholarly side. I'll tell them the statistics. I'll do the priestly bit of telling the stories about how this affects. I'll do the king bit about this is a leadership issue. I'll do some sagey stuff. Probably the thing I find hardest is the artist side, because I really don't have much artist energy. But it might be about creating something within your organization. And for people with helper healer energy, there's something there about the self-care and how women need to look after themselves. So there are so many situations where this becomes important to reach your audience. I'm so aware of time today, and that is about king nature. We're always worried we haven't got enough time. Two kings worrying about the time.
Well, and let me add a little bit into that. Yeah, I want to add a little bit into that in terms of approach as well, because even as we're talking to women out there dealing with menopause, everyone's approach to dealing with their menopause is also going to be different. It's going to be related to the way they do anything. And so I want to think about the fact that like king energy is very assertive. We just attack it. Okay, I've got hot flashes. I got to do something about it, and then done. That's assertive, right? But artist energy is very cautious. So it's like, you know, well, I don't know that I want to invest too much money in all those products. They might not work. So I need to investigate whether they would work or not, because I don't totally believe that they would. That is a natural artist approach. And so anyone out there listening to all these tips and ideas are going to go, I don't know, right? Okay, that's okay. Your approach can be cautious. And then when you recognize it, then you can leverage it. You know, so, and it, you know, I think of helpers, their approach is very reserved, and there's nothing wrong with being reserved, even in a sales conversation, nothing about reserved about, you know, dealing with your options, unless you allow it to inhibit you. So we start to play with people's natural approaches like that.
Yeah. A good addition to what you were saying. So we've got to that stage of what's the one thing that you would be saying to women that's going to make a difference for them?
Yeah. The one thing I would say is start listening to your soul and start nourishing that. So menopause, we're always talking about the symptoms and what to do with those. But the symptoms I think that don't get, that aren't as loud maybe, and we need to start listening to them, is what is that inside us that's calling for something else? I'm lacking the joie de vivre I used to have. Are we feeding that? I have more curiosity about what am I going to be doing over the next decade of my life? Am I feeding that curiosity? I'm starting to realize I'm not as tolerant of people's, can we say crap? We said we said say yes, crap. I'm not as tolerant as of people's crap as much as I used to be. And they're giving me advice that I don't want. Great. Are we nourishing and feeding what that means for us? So it's not, to me, menopause isn't just about dealing with the physical stuff, which we need to do, but it's also like, what about all that emotional and mental and spiritual? How is your life speaking to you? To me, that's the real soul language. Without the tool even, it's like our souls are speaking to us. The question is, how much attention are we giving to them?
Yeah.
So I guess that's my tip. That's my thought.
Yeah. And it's that whole thing of feeling an unease and like you're losing yourself, which I mentioned before. And that might just be you're losing the layers of yourself that weren't actually serving you anymore.
So there, let's go back inside the comfort zone. And this is my thought is you say, what would feel more comfortable? Yeah. And not comfortable in a lazy, complacent way, comfortable in a juicy, warm, fuzzy sweater kind of way. Like what would feel really good? So if the work you're doing on a day-to-day basis doesn't feel any good, that discomfort isn't causing you to grow into something. It's saying, what would feel more comfortable? That's the growth. Can we get into feeling good?
Yeah. And sometimes when I'm in conversation with women at this stage of life, whether they've come to me as a client or as part of a group, and I can see their unease, they're no longer comfortable with who they are. And they just don't know what to do about it. And they're trying to ignore it. They're trying to push it down. They're trying to hang on to who they were. That is not a good thing. Hanging on causes you stress.
Yeah.
And that stress will then come out some way in your body. And I've said it before, I'm just going to say it again. Sometimes that unease is a gentle unease and it's a bit of a tap from spirit or Mother Nature or whoever to say, pay attention. And if you try and ignore it, no, I don't need to do this. Like, oh, I'm getting symptoms, but I'm just going to power my way through it. It's all going to go away. It will be fine. You try and push it down and then you get a bit of a slap, you know, and it's Mother Nature being nice. She's saying, really pay attention. And then if you go, no, I'm not doing that. Yeah. You're going to get a bigger smack.
Yeah. And that's same with what we're talking about beyond the physical symptoms too, is that, you know, when I was 39 when I left corporate, because I started to realize, and I made a lot of money. People used to say, you know, who's going to pay you what you get paid to do what you do. And the thought hit me, I would rather be twice as happy and make half as much. And, you know, now of course I'm all about making twice as much and be twice as happy, but aside from that, but you know, it's a calling to say like, wait a second, my happiness and my fulfillment and my joy is actually the most important thing right now. And so maybe I slipped into that transformative stage a little bit sooner than some, but menopause is that perfect time to say, you want to hold a flag for the benefits of getting older. The benefits of getting older is this: you get to do what you want to do. You get to be who you want to be. You get to care about that. And the rest of the world will benefit from it. It's not selfish. It's not selfish to feel good. Because when you feel good, you do good. And people, it radiates. It's contagious. It's contagious. So find that state.
On that note, so people watching who are thinking, oh my God, I need some of this. I need some help. How do they find out more about you, Lisa?
Yeah. Well, the quickest is just to send me a quick email, lisa@lisadad.com. And dad is DADD. Toss me a quick email. Let me know what you're up to. And we can kind of go from there.
I can tell you it's very worthwhile because I've done some of Lisa's soul sales and we've had some good times together. We've even been to Iceland, not the supermarket.
We've been to Iceland.
And we could tell you a lot of stories about that because we both like telling stories as well. But moving on from that, thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing that. Thank you to everybody who's listening. If you need more help with your menopause, you can buy Hot Women Cool Solutions on Amazon. You can contact me, pat@patduckworth.com. I have lots more that I can tell you. Thank you today to my producer, Kyle. Stay tuned, because next up is Dismantle Racism with Reverend Dr. TLC, when she'll be talking about the wake-up call. And have a brilliant week. Next week, I will be talking to my guests, David Dashinger and Tamara Green. You do not want to miss that. It's going to be a great conversation. Thanks again. See you next week.
Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Our host.
Yep.
Okay.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, live, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.